Praise be to God. Amen. Are you all hungry? Because I have a problem. I know to start, I don't know to finish. That's what is happening. So, anyway, Brother Raleigh. Brother Raleigh. I keep getting the Ronnie. Brother Raleigh. Yeah. Brother Raleigh gave a very good message, sharing some of the points. he mentioned about dogs. Yes, in Philippines, I didn't see beware of dogs, but in India, we have many places. I've seen that. Beware of dogs. You know, dog is something, it goes back. It eats its own vomit, right? And that's how there are so many false teachings, wrong doctrines, and things like that. And also, one more point he mentioned from the Philippians. I think we go to that. I remember the scripture. Chapter 3, right? He spoke about the 10th verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Praise the Lord. Many of us, we all like to go in the rapture. So that is what it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But then there is one more thing which we should not miss, and the fellowship of his sufferings. You see? So we always want to have the blessing, but we don't want to have the suffering. We want to go in the rapture, resurrection. But to go in the resurrection, to be part of the resurrection, you need to go through a process of suffering. Yeah, that is one more very important point that brother mentioned. And then he also said, you cannot crucify yourself, but you need the power of the Holy Ghost to crucify you. That's like, we call it in our language, punch dialogue. It's like a punch. You know, that's the fact. Who will want to crucify themselves? But when the Holy Ghost comes, that's why we believers, we advise, we ministers, we tell people, you need to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Once the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you know, he knows what to do. How to sanctify you. So, brother gave a very good message this morning, and I thank God for this. So we still have time. And I think only Brother Prasanna raised his hand when brother asked, who likes chemistry? Who will like chemistry? Very few. I did not like chemistry, but still, my chemistry with Sister Benita worked out so well. That was the only chemistry that I liked. The rest of the chemistry I don't like. Okay, so, you know, God was gracious. They say, you know, every emotion has some kind of chemicals being released in the brain. Right? That is what... When you're angry, there is a certain chemical being released. When you love somebody, there's a kind of chemical being released. And I believe we all should have this love chemical for Jesus Christ. Amen. When we love the Lord, that's a chemical, that's a spiritual chemical being released in our spirit. You know, that unites us. That's why even Jesus, the last question I think he asked Peter was, do you love me? Right? He said, do you love me? That agape love, that divine love. That is the chemistry, real chemistry that we need towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe God is, through his word, he's making the church come together. And I praise be to God. I give all glory to God. It's really been wonderful for me, the way God has made the things. You know, I was really surprised. I think The earlier plan was that I visit Singapore when I'm going to Philippines, then when I come back from the Philippines, I have another visit, and then I go back home. But God had a different plan, and the Lord has kept me here for some time. It is all for good, and I got to know many things, speak many things, understand this church well, what the church is going through, what kind of problems is going on. You know, I tell you something, whenever a church has been like a life to others, will always go through double fire. Now, take the church of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a blessing for all of us. For 2,000 years, we have been blessed because of the church in Jerusalem. But look at the church. It went through the fire. It had all the problems. It faced every kind of suffering, every kind of problem that church had to face. And that is why maybe prophetic revelation is going through some problems. But I believe, you know, whatever you are being squeezed here, this life will go out. You know, the same thing happened in my church, in our place, in my church. My church is going through a lot of problems. I have faced betrayals of brothers, sisters, people whom we loved. When they come up in life, you know, they come to church in a very hard condition. You know, so we work for their soul, for their natural things, give them all. We give them the counseling, advice. And when they come up in life, they betray the church and fellowship and they go. But whatever life, always I tell you, you know, this is my own church is like great tribulation for me. But when I go out, you know, the Rose of Sharon, that's why, you know, the rose, when you crush the rose, and that's when the smell comes out. So if the church is going through a crushing time, you're squeezed, you know, that's when the freshness of Jesus Christ, the life goes to other places. So this church has been a blessing to many all over the world from the time of Brother Gann's ministry. And I believe it is also going to be a blessing in the future. God is raising up new young people. Praise the Lord. When I came to know that Brother Gann appointed Brother Prasanna, I said, I was not just happy because he's an Indian, he's from my same Tamil Nadu. But you know, I knew God has chosen a young man. You know, now we don't know. Now Brother Prasanna himself is praying. He told me, man, I just want to do God's will. You know, I just want to do whatever God has, whatever the Lord puts in my heart to do, I just want to do that. He's not expecting anything else. But you know, when God has chosen a young man, now Brother Zoel Gann, I believe God will use him also. You see, many other young people should come forward because God should, that's why I've been praying for Brother Zoel Gann for a long time. Being a son of an apostle, I believe surely that God has some work for him. You see, God has a work for him. In time it will spring up. That's it. You know, so we have been praying the church will still, will pass this test. These times of troubles, and this church is going to be a very big blessing in the coming days. So I thank God for all the wonderful things that the Lord has done. And I'm honored to be here staying with you people. And all of you have been taking care of me so well. And God bless each and every one. So let's go to the message. We will continue with the message today. Ezekiel chapter 44. The book of Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, 15 to 17. Yes, somebody can read it. Ezekiel chapter 44, from the 15th verse to the 17th verse.
But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. They shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wool shall come upon them, whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, we know this book of Ezekiel from chapter 40 to 48. It's speaking about all those chapters from Ezekiel 40 to 48 is about the millennium, the time of 1,000 years when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule, and in his temple how the priests have to conduct themselves and things like that. But we have something to learn spiritually from this. Now, we see the Lord is using the word Zadok that kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. They shall come near to me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord. When we are being called, the calling of God is very, very special. Some of them, today my message will be more focused for those who want to do ministry for God. But at the same time, you believers can take those things for yourselves also. It goes to both. But I focus more on how a minister of God and those who want to get close to Christ, what is your qualification? Now when we say there are different kinds of priests, you have different reverends and from different denomination, each one goes to Bible college, they study to become a father. You have to study at least 14 years. You need to study Latin, Greek, Hebrew. And for 14 years, after 14 years, you become a father. 14 to 17 years, I think. And you need to learn all these languages, Latin, mainly Latin also. Same thing goes with Protestant bishops, Protestant reverends. They have to study at least for 7 years before they come in for service. And there are so many things. But here, when you are actually serving Christ, now those fathers are serving their denomination, Roman Catholic Church. The reverends are serving the Protestant Church. You have Baptist preachers, you have Pentecostal preachers, all studying in Bible college. But now what we believe to serve God, first you have to be called by God. Hallelujah. And the process, the study is not just for 5 years or 10 years or 14 years, but all through your life, a minister of God has to be a student before God. Praise the Lord. 33 years of my life, I have read so many books, I've read so many histories, I've read the Bible many times, but still, whenever I come before the presence of God, I need to be like a little child. I need to be a student of the Bible. Because here, the call is from God Himself. All through eternity, even tomorrow when we go in the rapture, when we go in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to meet the Lord face to face, still we will be learning there in heaven. Our learning process is not going to stop. Because God is eternal. And all those things that we are going to learn, we are going to keep on learning. We'll have so many things. But the greatest joy is that we will hear all those words from the direct lips of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. See? Praise the Lord. So now the Lord is calling Zadok. He's saying, bring the sons of Zadok. Now who's the Zadok? According to the biblical records, he is the son, descendant of Eleazar, who was the son of Aaron. Right? I think if I'm not wrong, he was the ninth or something, if I'm not wrong. But he was a descendant of Eleazar, who was the son of Aaron. And this Zadok had a very big hand in supporting King David. When all the other people came against David, Zadok was a very important hand in supporting David as being the king of Israel. He did not join hands with Saul and his team. And the same Zadok we see later on, he was instrumental in bringing Solomon as the king after David. So he was like, he was with the will of God. He was moving along with the wind of the Holy Ghost. See, this is why the Lord has something to say here. Even in Solomon, after building the Solomon's temple, I think Zadok was the first high priest in Solomon's temple. He was appointed as a high priest. So we see the Lord is saying, bring the sons of Zadok that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me. See, in Saul's time, Saul went away from the will of God. Then we see Absalom going away from the will of God. And there were many people who were supporting Saul. There were many people who were supporting Absalom. They did not see the will of God at that time. This priest stood along with David and Solomon, whom he understood they were anointed by God to be kings. So that is why now God is calling. Now they are being given a special order. The order is that they shall come near to me. This is a special order. To minister unto me. And they shall stand before me. To offer unto me the fat and blood, saith the Lord God. Three things are being mentioned about the sons of Zadok. One, they shall come near me. Those who are being called for the service of God are the ones who can go near to God. In calling, there is many different ways. Some people, you are being called to receive eternal life. All of us. You're being called to be part of the kingdom of God. All of us. But when it comes to ministry, which is happening on this earth today, especially we believe in the fivefold ministry. Right? The fivefold ministry is so important in the bride of Christ. Those who neglect that fivefold ministry, they are neglecting the very hand of God. Because fivefold ministry is like the right hand of God, which consists of five fingers. And it is the power of the right hand of God. So today, it is the ministry which is leading the people towards God. It is this ministry which has been appointed. Now, we, the worldly people, have so many titles given, right? They have the titles of bishop, archbishop. They have reverends. They have so many titles given to men. Now, there are man-made titles. Some of them are man-made titles, but the real title given to men is apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. This is the title which God has given to his ministers in his ministry. Now, as a minister of God, or even you believers, can consider the scriptures, that the first thing that we need to do is to go near to the Lord himself. Each and everyone who want a deeper spiritual life, those who want a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to go near to him. See? The more nearer you go, the more better you can see the person. Hallelujah. Looking at a person from a far distance and looking at a person from closer has a very big difference. So the more closer you go, the more nearer you draw towards him, the more better you can see him. You will know his power. That is what even Moses, look at Moses, what he did. Let's go to the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, 1 to 4.
Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I.
You see, this is something. Moses was in the wilderness, and then he saw the angel of the Lord appear unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see. Now, it means, let me get more closer to this and see what it is. This word has another translation. Let me go closer. Let me have a closer view. Now, those who are being called to do service for God have been called to come closer to Jesus Christ. That is when, how can a minister of God open up the things of the scriptures? How can somebody who is in the ministry can bring the things from Genesis to Revelation in a very simple way? The only way for him is, as a man draws closer to Christ, the view becomes very clearer. Hallelujah. That is what Moses said. If Moses had stayed far away, he could not have seen that angel. He could not have recognized that I am. But as he said, let me draw more closer. Let me see what it is. And that is when the Lord spoke to Moses. That is when the Lord revealed himself to Moses. The main thing of the sons of Zadok is, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me. A minister of God, before serving men, he has to serve Christ. Many of the believers also fail here. Before you become a living witness to the world, we should be people who stand before God. Hallelujah. When I say stand before God, it's not just a position of standing. It is something to do, getting closer with that Spirit of God, becoming one with the Holy Ghost, becoming sensitive to the Spirit, so that you first learn to serve God before we serve men. Hallelujah. This was the main purpose, to draw closer. Now let's go to another scripture. Let's go to another scripture. Exodus chapter 24, 1 and 2. Yes, brother, somebody can read.
And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him.
Now here you see, there was something which the Lord told very clearly. The Lord said, you come with three people. Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. This is just like a typology, shadow of what actually happened in the New Testament, where Jesus took three of them to the mountain, to the high mountain. He took Peter, John, and James. You see? He took them to the mountain. And we also know that in the book of Luke, we know that Jesus had 70 disciples. Right? So this is just a typology of what was supposed to happen in the future. Now the Lord is telling Moses, come up unto the Lord with three men, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of elders of Israel, and worship him far off. But he said to Moses, but Moses alone shall come near the Lord. How are we called? My brothers and sisters, are you called to the closeness of the Lord's presence? Or you're standing far away worshiping God? What is your call? You need to recognize your call. There were many others who were worshiping God from far. The people were not even permitted to climb the mountain. Only the 70 and the three. Right? But among the 70 and the three, Moses was called to be alone with God. Oh, this is what I want. This is what I love. This is what each and every one of you should seek today. Are you standing far away and looking at God? You can worship God from very far, because heaven and earth belongs to Him. You can stand in any corner and worship God. It's not a problem. But there is a special call. A call to draw near and close to Christ. We are living in those days. We are living in a time as a unit, as a bride. You can be the closest to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, already his wife was there in the palace. His wife knew Joseph better than his brothers. See? Already she was there in the palace. Praise be to God. So what is your call today? You need to recognize your call. You need to know where you're standing. Are you standing far away? Or you are so close to the Lord. So close that you can see Him. Hallelujah. That is what Solomon, Song of Solomon 1:2 says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Why? The wife is standing the closest to him. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. That's the spiritual intimacy. So Moses went very close to God. Some people are very satisfied when they stand far away and worship him. Oh, it's enough. It's okay. As long as I'm worshiping God, it's okay. But that is not our call. We are sons of Zadok. If you're sons of Zadok, if you're the real ones, the real priests who are being called by God, then we have to come, draw close to His presence.
Amen.
This morning, I think Brother Henry got up very early and prayed. And then, in the bus stand, he was saying, thank you, Brother Shadrach, for advising me to pray. He said, I felt so close. You see, there are times that we need to go. I got up morning at 5 to prepare a message for 2 hours, meditating on the word of God. Because there are times when you spend with the Lord alone, that's the time you actually become very close to the Lord. Brothers, we need this relationship today. We need to be as close as possible to our Lord. That is why the disciples They were missing him. When Jesus said, I'm going to go, they actually started to miss him. They were afraid. Right? They said, what happened? Now you're going, when will you come back? Because Jesus was telling, I will go and I'll come back. So they did not know where he's going. They did not know when he's going. They did not know. One thing they knew, something he's very, very clear on going. So once he goes, he's not going to come back very soon. They were missing him. And that is when the Lord told them, but I give you the promise of the Holy Ghost, who shall never leave you. It means through this Holy Spirit, through this power of His Spirit, through the presence of the Spirit, we can draw so close to Jesus that if you have enough faith, He can even reveal Himself to you. Look at the denomination people. They are standing very far away. Very far. They don't even know. Some of the people, I feel so sorry when I speak to some of my friends in the Pentecostal churches. They are so happy being where they are, not even knowing they have not even touched the mountain of God. They have not even climbed the mountain of God. Sometimes I feel very sorry. Sometimes we try to explain. They don't understand. You try to explain the best, nothing works. Why? If you have not been called, you will understand nothing. Only the drawing power of Christ, whomsoever God has called, you automatically go to Him. This is like a magnetic power. If God has called you for a deeper experience with Him, then you will automatically start to draw close to Christ. Hallelujah. Your thirst for Him, your longing for Him, day by day, that desire starts to increase, that you want to go and stand before Him, serve Him, and just love Him alone, and nothing else. Praise be to God. Look at the book of Psalms. Let's go to the book of Psalms. You'll see a scripture from Psalms. I think 73. Yes, it's 73 and the 25th verse. Psalm 73, 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Now, the psalm is written by Asaph. And he is the one who brings this scripture by saying, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. He's trying to say, my only desire to go to heaven is because I want to see thee. What if God is not in heaven? So maybe the psalmist is saying, I will search Him all around the universe and find Him where He is, I want to be. It is not the reward of heaven that interests the psalmist. But it is the presence of God that he desires to be. The same thing, there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Look at the depth of his relationship. Look at this closeness. He was so close to God that he's saying, there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. It means everything, all my desire, it means all my desire, all my longing, all that I desire on this earth is, Lord, just you. This was one man standing before the presence of God. This was one man who was so close to the Lord, who had a great desire for God. What kind of desire do we have today? Do you want to stand before Him? Do you want to go and serve Him just for what He is? Even if the Lord will not answer your next prayer, still I believe we cannot complete thanking Him for all that God has done for us. Huh? Even if the Lord is not going to answer your next prayer, still it's not possible to complete thanking Him for what He has already done for us. It means the desire was only to go before God and serve Him and know Him as He is. This is a special call. This is especially very special for those who want to serve in the ministry. Of course, this is also a call for believers, because when it comes to the bride, we are all being called, right? Now, like Peter speaks about, I think in 1 Peter, he says, your royal priesthood, yes. 1 Peter chapter 2 and the 9th verse. Yes, sir. One Peter chapter 2 and the 9th verse. Somebody can read it. Well, I'll have my.
But ye are chosen, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
You are a chosen generation, right? A royal priesthood. Okay, then.
A holy nation.
A holy nation.
A peculiar people.
A peculiar people.
That you should shew forth the praises of Him Ten. Who hath called you out of darkness
into His marvelous light. You are a peculiar people. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. The sons of Zadok was royal. They were royal priesthood. We are all royal priesthood. We are a peculiar people. It means many don't have a chance to get close to Christ, but He has called us that we can draw closer to Him. Everyone has not got the chance. All those who are worshipping Jesus cannot come and serve before God. But He has called you and me. We are not worthy for it. We are not worthy for this. But it is this Almighty's grace, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which called us to His presence. So like Moses, who was alone with God, each and everyone, if you know you have been called to stand before the Almighty, draw as quickly as possible. Don't stay far away. Look at our Peter, the same Peter, who had a very close experience with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, when you read the book of Luke, look at his condition. The book of Luke, chapter 22, you can read from 54. 54th verse. I will read it. Luke chapter 22, 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Look at a man who was so close to Jesus, face to face, who walked with Jesus hand in hand, who saw all the miracles that the Lord did. He even had a beautiful experience on the high mountain. The high mountain experience was the coming of Jesus Christ. not a vision. Please don't think it's some kind of vision. No. It tells the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. It's a foretaste. Shown to the disciples what the coming of Jesus Christ is. The Son of Man turning into Son of God. See? That was the coming of Jesus Christ. That is why Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, we saw that glory. We saw that glory. Face to face. We are not telling you some tales. We are not making up some stories. But we saw His glory. So a man who saw the glory of God, a man who can be in the high mountain, who was in the high mountain with Jesus, now he's following the Lord far off. Look at the backsliding. Many believers, he wanted to walk very close to God, and there was a time when he walked close to God, but sometime, somewhere, something happened that now you are walking very far. Oh, we have been called to stand before God. We have been called to serve Christ. We have been called. That is why no disciples told the Lord, Lord, teach us to preach. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Why did they say that? Because the man who can stand before God can stand before men. If you know to speak to God, it is so easy for you to speak to men. When we learn to speak to God, when we learn to be in the presence of God, when we are fully immersed, come to His presence, we become one. Then it becomes so easy. You become daring. You become bold. Because you know that I have met a God. I met the Almighty. I met the fire. I have met the one who destroyed Satan. I met the one who destroyed sin. Why are we called? The special call is given so that you realize, you understand, you have a personal revelation about the power of God in your life. Everybody were not called. That is why look at the faith of Moses. He even comes to a place where, hearing the murmuring of the children of Israel, he even told God, God, did I give birth to these people? Every time they come to me for beef and for chicken and lechon. Every time they're coming after me, as though I gave birth to them. They're coming and asking, Mama, milk, 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 milk. Where will I go? In the wilderness. The children of Israel did not have the faith which Moses had. They did not see. 24 hours they were not seeing the pillar of fire. Right? 24 hours they were not seeing the pillar of fire. If they had seen 24 hours the pillar of fire, why will they murmur? Now some of the believers come to us for prayer. Right? When your faith is weak, you want somebody to pray for you because you believe that brother is more close to Christ, that sister is more close to Christ. And when you have a problem with your own faith, you want somebody else to pray. It is not wrong to pray for one another in the church. Right? In the same way, the children of Israel, they always came to Moses because they knew Moses was closer to God than them. That's why 24 hours, if they had seen the pillar of fire, they would have all looked up and prayed to God. But Moses writes, the pillar of fire never left them. In the night and day, the Shekinah glory was with them. It is Moses who writes that. Because Moses saw that. Because he drew close to the presence of God. So he knew God is there. The children of Israel, they were looking from far. They didn't come close to God. What Moses saw, they couldn't see. What Moses felt, they couldn't see. Some people argued with me, you know, they said Moses wrote the law. I said Moses wrote the law, but Moses saw grace. He wrote the law for hardened hearts. But Moses personally experienced grace. He said, how do you say that? I said, let me tell you. Now, who wrote the law? Okay, Moses. What did he write about a murderer? He said, if someone will kill someone, that person has to be put to death. Who wrote this? Moses wrote this. But why wasn't he put to death? He already killed somebody. See? So Moses saw grace. But he wrote the law. Law was written for those who are far away. But as you draw towards the drawing presence of Christ, you see the Almighty with full of grace. That is why you experience the forgiveness. That is why you experience the healing. Only for those people who are far away, it is the law. But as you draw closer and closer and closer, all that you can see is grace, 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 grace. Oh, may you draw closer to Christ today. The man Peter can backslide. Believers, some of you who have walked with God so close, you may have backslided, but there is still the loving eyes of God can bring you back. Look at what happened. The 61st verse. The 60th verse, the third time Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he had spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Hallelujah. Who turned and looked? I just hope God will look at each and every one of you today. Because the Lord did not look at Judas. He had to die a shameful death. The same eyes did not look at Judas. That is why. If many of you fail to come back, many of you don't recognize the work of God, if some of them have gone away from Christ, it is because Christ has not looked upon them. So this drawing power, the eyes was trying to tell Peter, whatever you have done, come to me. Amen. You will be saved. Amen. See? And this was a special call. And that's why it says, next verse, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. His heart was convicted of his mistakes. So today, you will have to come closer to the drawing power of Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, now let's see a few more things in that. The 17th verse, Ezekiel chapter 44 and the 17th verse again. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments. And no wool shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. Now, this is also another thing very, very important. The dress code given to the sons of Zadok was they should have linen garments and not wool. Especially when you're drawing before God in the sanctuary, in the inner sanctuary. It is the inner sanctuary. Not to those who are serving in the outer courts. Especially when you go to the inner court, You should only wear linen. The reason for that is linen is connected. Now, a reason is given. Why no wool should come. Now, the 18th verse, they shall have linen bonnets upon their head, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. Now, this is the point of wearing linen. Linen has two reasons. One, linen is connected for us today. Linen is connected with the glory of God. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation 19. Book of Revelation chapter 19 and the 7th and 8th verse. Brother Zoil, you can read it. Revelation 19, 7 and 8.
Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints.
Hallelujah. Now, linen is speaking about the righteousness of the saints. It means when you are drawing towards Christ, when you are going towards Christ, you need to have the righteousness of the saints, which is like a garment given to you. Now, this garment, in wool, when you wear woolen clothes, you sweat a lot. And where did sweating come from? Where did it start? It all started in the Garden of Eden. See? It started in the Garden of Eden. Now let's see that. See that more clearly. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Chapter 3 and the 19th verse. Genesis chapter 3 and the 19th verse. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now, the reason why the Lord told them, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. This is also speaking spiritually. See, man was created as a spiritual being and as a physical being. In the physical realm, before the fall, this is what Brother Gann put it. The first thing I learned, this, what I'm going to say, I learned it from Brother Gann. He said, he was like a manager, not a servant who was toiling the ground, you know. He was like a manager, because we all know that Brother Branham also said that he was a little God on earth, right? It means everything was automatic. The fruit of the ground, it was all the work of God. Now if you read the thing in the second chapter, sixth verse. Second chapter, Genesis 2 and 6. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. See? It means, what was Adam doing? He just had to praise God and just go and look after those animals, play with it. Huh? What a life. All that Adam had to do was just praise God for the earth, praise God for the water, praise God for the beautiful animals and birds, for the beautiful sound. The scientists have found out the plants have music. Right, brother, you must have heard recently. You use a certain special instruments. You know, they can see every plant has a sound. And I think that is the reason these birds sing in the morning and evening. Because according to the music, they are giving a tune. But why is that we cannot hear it now? Because man has lost. He's out of the paradise. We are gone. We were not created so that we sweat on our face and we eat our bread. Let it be natural or spiritual. Everything was clear. Today, man has to find out the laws, how the laws of gravity is, how the laws of universe is. Man is going on discovering more and more and more. We have not completed our discovery yet. But Adam had it in a simple form called word. When he looks at the trees, he knows what it is. When he looks at the bird, he knows what it is. When he looks at the lion, he's the one who named it. Why did he call it lion? Because he saw Christ. He said, what do you see? The Lion of Judah. And he named it lion. Adam had all the knowledge. He had all the knowledge of this earth, all the laws. He knew everything. The original document of this earth was in his hands. To say it was inside his heart. It was sealed inside his spirit. And there was nothing for him to sweat, to find out. Sweating is something to say. You know, you work hard on something to discover that or to find it out. Right? It's the same way for the spiritual man, for righteousness. Adam never tried to be holy, but the spirit which was in him, it kept him holy. That's why when Adam and Eve came to, when they sinned, God never sent them out of Eden. I always ask people, why did the Lord send Adam and Eve out of Eden? He said, most of them gave me the answer, just because they sinned. I said, if they had sinned, and that is the reason God sent them out of Eden, then why did the Lord come searching for Adam, who was still in Eden, and saying, Adam, Adam, where are you? God never sent them out of Eden for sinning. God sent them out of Eden for creating a self-righteous spirit. They wanted to do something on their own. They wanted to produce that holiness before God. They actually lost the spirit, which was keeping them in a righteous spirit. That spirit which was in Adam was keeping them in a holy state of mind. When you lose the spirit, you lose everything. Now that's why the Lord said, okay, now you want to try? Try to become holy. Let me see how you'll become holy. Right? And many believers go on trying every day. You commit mistakes. The more you try, the more you fail. The more you fail, you tell the Lord, Lord, one more time. Today, Lord, I'm going to live a very holy life before you. And today, I'm going to prove to you that I'm a good man, good girl. The day you utter that, you will become a double wicked person. This is what the sweating is all about. You are trying. You're trying. You're trying. But you're not able to do it. Because you keep failing. You keep failing. Because God wanted to teach man a lesson. That if you're going to be a righteous person, it is not by your own strength. Now morning, brother took a message. Having no confidence in the flesh. See? Having no confidence in the flesh. Paul was trying to show himself. According to the law, I'm the most righteous person. Yes, and Jews were they had a lot of self-control in many things. Until a man becomes 40, he was not even permitted to read the book Song of Solomon. In the old Jewish culture. They were very self-controlled people. But the Lord comes to something else where Paul had to fail. The Lord attacked the root. According to Paul, do not commit adultery. He did not, in flesh. According to Paul, do not murder. He did not, according to the flesh. But in his mind, he has done all these things. Who was the reason behind Stephen's death? It was Paul. He may not have thrown a stone at Stephen, but he was watching. He was enjoying the death. It means God is looking at the inner man. The Lord is saying, the root cause of every problem is inside. We try to rectify outside, which we cannot do. And that's the reason you're sweating and sweating and sweating. You're trying all your best in Adam's time. How do you think Adam must have? He must have just gone and spoken to a plant. Hello, my dear sweet little one, I need an apple. And there it gives him an apple. See, even today, my mother-in-law loves to have a garden. If anybody will come around, they'll think she's little gone crack. She speaks to the plants because she believes there is life in the spoken word. You go talk to a plant. You know, when you go and speak to a rose plant, they yield more rose when you lovingly speak. You say, Rose, I love you so much. I need to see your flowers. I enjoy to see. What happens? That life, that spoken word which God has kept in us, it passes to them. Because Adam had this authority in the beginning. So Adam did not sweat for his natural food and for his spiritual food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So all the breath of God which he received was producing righteousness and holiness in him. He did nothing, just praising God. This is what sweat is all about. And we see in the book of Revelation chapter 19, the righteousness of saints. It is a linen garment. This is not a garment which is done by the best tailor in the world. This is a garment which is a spoken word garment. Amen. Which comes from the word of God. And it turns to become our own garment. See? Now this is the garment that the bride receives. Because of this garment, she can now draw close to the presence of God. This is the garment on the mountain when the Lord was transfigured. His raiment changed like lightning and shining like white. So what he's trying to say, what the scriptures are trying, Ezekiel is trying to show us something. If you're going to draw before God, don't try to act as though you are something, but you are nothing. Don't go with sweat, meaning don't try to show yourself righteous. Just go to him as you are. Amen. Trusting in the robe of Christ, righteousness, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit. That's why I told this morning, this brother made a statement, a punch dialogue, I said. You cannot crucify yourself. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, he will crucify you. It is not what we are doing. It is what he is doing. So you don't need to sweat. You just wear the garment and go. Hallelujah. You just wear his garment in faith. Put on the robe of Jesus Christ. I think in the book of Ephesians, Paul is speaking about that garment, right? The book of Ephesians. chapter 4, from the 22nd verse to 24, 22 to 24, right? that he put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that he put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. The new man is the new garment. The new man is the linen. You wear the new man, which is Christ. Because when you go before God, God is no more going to see your current nature, but He's seeing Christ in you. So He's saying, you come to me with faith, putting on the robe of Jesus Christ, which is linen garment. Don't try to do something. Just come to me. Wear the robe and come. You're not going to sweat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's see two more things in the same thing. And let's go to Ezekiel chapter 44 now. Praise be to God. Hello. Are you all with me? Amen. Sometimes I need to ask, when people become hungry, you know, they just go out. Okay. Amen. Now, the next one is, you know, then bonus, right? The 17th verse, 18th verse. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. So the bonnets are like a head cap. It is actually priestly attire, like made of linen. And it's a symbol of holiness and consecration. You know, that you need to give your body, your complete thoughts to the Lord. Head signifies the thoughts. So you need to now give a complete, you need to come to a new thoughts. You cannot have your old fleshly thoughts. You cannot have your own natural thoughts. Your own man cannot work. Now your thoughts have to be the thoughts of Christ. So you wear a vest from head to toe. Hallelujah. Everything is completely covered with linen. You don't sweat before His presence. It means you don't try, but you receive the revelation of Christ. You receive the truth, the helmet of salvation. When you have the helmet of salvation, the truth, truth should be ruling our minds. Jesus is standing before Pilate and said, ask him what is truth. Imagine his condition. Many times the Lord preached, I am the truth. The truth is standing in front of him and he's asking, what is truth? Huh? Yeah, truth is right before him. Because there was no truth here. When you don't have truth here, God is not bothered. It also says, you know, that Herod asked Jesus so many questions, but Lord never answered them. Why? Already he rejected the truth. How? By cutting the head of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was speaking the truth. Who was the head of John the Baptist? Christ was the head of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had truth. Once you cut, it means you reject. Then truth will speak to you no more. You already rejected the truth. So now, Herod was under damnation. He has to face hellfire. There's no answer. So our thoughts should be covered with the truth of God. Amen. You don't create. That's why people don't have rest. In the doctrine of Trinity, there is no rest. You have to sweat trying to understand. When I was with the Sri Lankan pastors, about 180 pastors conference, I told them, those who believe in Trinity are drunk people. You know, when somebody is drunk, one person That you look at him, you say, what, 3% are walking? Because you're drunk. Huh? One plate, one fish will look like some 3 or 4 fishes. What's the, where is the fish? You don't know where exactly the fish is. Because there is no truth. They are trying to find out and find out and find out. From 326, they are still finding out. They have no answers. They are sweating. Worse than pigs. They have no answer. But God has given us the truth. You don't sweat. You don't have your own thoughts. But His thought is placed like a crown. So He places His thought in our mind. That is the priestly cap. The priestly crown. Wearing that, you go to the presence of God. Just to serve Him. Like Adam. Just to serve God for everything. Hallelujah. And then it says, they shall have linen bonnets upon their head and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. Right? It is like the... I will show you Exodus chapter 28 and 42. Exodus chapter 28 and 42. Yeah, 28 and 42. Right? And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. So the priest had special inner garment. From the loins to the thighs. That was covering their nakedness. Adam, the first time Adam knew that he was naked. Before sinning, both of them, Adam and Eve, were naked in the garden, but they did not feel ashamed of each other. But after sin, now they can see their nakedness. So actually, when we come to Christ as you are, we need to come to Him. When you meet Him on the cross, that is where your nakedness is exposed. Right? Like the other time we saw the sword of God, the word of God. Nothing is hid from God. Now, what is this covering? It means the first conviction of sin, when the conviction of the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, He will convict you of your sin. Everybody needs conviction. Everybody needs to know that they are naked. You should know that you are naked. You should know your shame. Some people don't have conviction. They have never had conviction in their life. They don't know what conviction means. You know, when I was convicted, though I came to Christ in 91, 92, but I would say, I saw my wretched state, it was in 1999. I really had a time with God on a mountain in Ooty. Well, I was just praying. It's a very cold place. 1 month I was staying. And that is the time I actually realized how wretched I am. Everyone should realize your wretchedness. I tell you, if you don't realize your wretchedness, you will always be a troublemaker wherever you go. Once you realize your nakedness, that is where you become humble. Imagine a well-dressed man, you know, with a nice coat and suit is walking on the road, you know, looking at everybody with a haughty spirit. Suddenly somebody comes and pulls his pants down. He may be a great, big shot. And imagine when the pant is being pulled down, his inner garments also gets exposed. What will be his condition? All his look will become like this. You know, he goes down. He's put to shame. First, the conviction of the Spirit is God puts you to shame. You need to realize how wretched you are. You need to realize how sinful you are. Many have not realized this, and that's the problem. Message people think, oh, I go directly to heaven. Rapture. When Jesus comes, you should not be found naked. All your nakedness should be exposed here. And then he gives you a garment to cover your nakedness. Now when you go before his presence through the drawing power, now you are no more naked. Your nakedness is covered. That's the priestly garment which God has given to us. Oh, brothers and sisters, I would like to stop here because I know the time, you know, in the new international version translation, says, make linen undergarments as a covering for the body, reaching from the waist to the thigh. Aaron and his sons must wear them whenever they enter the tent of meeting or approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they will not incur guilt and die. You cannot come. Now when you're coming to this call is not the call to the cross. Now this call is a call to serve him. When you first call to come to the cross, there you come, naked, wretched, filthy, whatever may be your condition. But here this call is to prepare your soul to meet the Lord face to face. Hallelujah. That's why the book of Luke says, beware to stand worthy before the Son of Man, watching and praying always. Why did he say that? To come to the cross, your first experience is like a sinner. You come begging for mercy, naked and wretched. That's the condition of churches today, like lukewarm, right? They don't have conviction. They can't see their own sin. They cannot see how wretched they are, how poor they are, how blind they are. After the conviction comes, what is the next thing the Lord does? He's dressing you now. He's covering your nakedness. And now, after you have been covered, your head, you have your headdress, you have your linen, everything is linen, no sweat, no own strength, you're not depending anything on your flesh. Now, with that Spirit of God, with the power of Christ, you approach God. Amen. Now we can see him better. We can see him clear like crystal. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of God. May the Lord give you the strength. Let us all be like the Zadok, sons of Zadok, daughters of Zadok. So every time when we say sons, we always women feel, you know, our daughters are not written here. See, the woman was in Adam. So whenever it said sons, the daughters are already inside. Okay, so this is also for you. So let us be like the sons of Zadok. Come before Christ to serve him so that we can see him better. So that like Joseph was revealing himself completely. They understood who Joseph was. Let us get close to God and understand his beauty. Isaiah 33:17 says, your eyes shall behold the beauty of the King. May we come to the closeness of his presence to behold the beauty of the King. God bless you all. Hallelujah. Let's all pray. Blessed Heavenly Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, we have come before the throne of grace and mercy. And here, O Lord, we have come to serve you with the beauty of the Spirit of Father. This call is not a call for the sinners of God, because we know we have already come to your cross where our nakedness was exposed. You convicted our hearts. And now you have called us to behold your beauty in your presence, O Father. You have completely clothed us with the royal robe of the priestly garments. We come before your presence, O God, with no more nakedness, no more shame, no more sweat, but just come before you to serve you and to see you as you are, O Father. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for this message, O Father. And I believe, O God, that as we are going to go to the second session also after lunch, I pray that you may open the lips of Brother Zoil, O Father, in Jesus' name, that he may deliver the word and followed by it, if it is your will, that I may continue the message, O Father. Let your grace and mercy be with each and everyone today, O Father. In Jesus' name, I ask this prayer. Amen.